From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Africa, it's said if you educate a man, you educate an individual. When you educate a woman, you educate a nation. Still, in Africa, two-thirds of the children who should be in school but are not are girls. Part of the problem is economic, and part resulting from a society only beginning to focus on the needs of girls. For today's installment of her series, Portraits of Poverty, NPR Charlene Hunter-Galt reports from Malawi in southern Africa.
I want to give you something.
Morning classes at Mjolo Primary School in Mjolo Village, Malawi, a 30-minute ride outside the capital, Lilongwe. An equal number of boys and girls learning together. In some respects, a model school on the African continent, where close to 60% of children out of school are girls. UNICEF's Aida Girma.
The problem of girls' education is an issue in most countries in Africa, and indeed in developing countries, because of the low status of women in our societies. I think the girls' education is not always valued.
Women are considered inferior to men in many parts of Africa, and this is expressed in a variety of ways. Women feed men first and give them the best food. They often get the most menial jobs, and men are always first. Mjolo Primary School is located in a poor rural village about 30 minutes outside of Lilongwe. Pupils sit among village cows during class breaks. Despite the government's commitment to education, it still lacks resources. Thanks to UNICEF, this school has two concrete classroom buildings and some desks. There's still not enough for the more than 1,000 students. Some classes of as many as 100 students are conducted under a big tree near the school buildings.
You're also talking about girls' education.
Nelson Kaperemera is Malawi's director of basic education.
We still have some communities where the value of education for girls is still being doubted, because in the past they were valuing sending boys to school. But I think that is now changing. There has been a lot of social mobilization campaign to try and increase girls' access to education.
Those campaigns, coupled with the government of Malawi's decision to introduce free primary education some 12 years ago, one of the first to do so on the African continent, have resulted in over 90% enrollment for both boys and girls. But issues still remain, in particular those having to do with sexual safety and exploitation. School inspector Chrissy Calachero says that in many schools in Malawi, there's a problem of male teachers taking sexual advantage of their female students by forcing them to have sexual intercourse or touching them.
The abuse of girls by some teachers is happening in other schools. And sometimes the teachers, if they can not do the actual sexual intercourse, but they like touching secret parts or the buttocks, and some girls, especially when they reach ages of 13 or 14, they drop out of school.
Mjolo has provided separate toilets for boys and girls. But at a nearby school, we are shown what Calachero says is the norm, a small cluster of putrid, open-pit latrines made of mud bricks, worn to mere shells by rain and lack of repair. We watch as boys go in and out freely. But 13-year-old Alice Maseko says she and many of the girls are concerned about being sexually assaulted in the latrines.
She says they fear because there are no doors there, therefore the boys can see them.
Addressing such challenges has been done in part by the mothers' group, organized with the help of UNICEF. Demelise Sedikani, a mother of six girls, was one of about a dozen members of the mothers' group gathered in the schoolyard. She says the group has helped keep girls at school in several ways. Unwanted pregnancies due to sexual violence continue to be a problem, but the mothers have convinced some of the girls to come back after they've had their babies. But she and other women appear to be proudest of of stopping a cultural practice in Mjolo, which they say was not only resulting in pregnancies, but was also spreading HIV/AIDS, girls' coming-of-age initiation rites. Berthia Molozi, a mother of four girls, described what she called the dangerous cultural practice.
She's saying that the custom was that when the girl was initiated, she was forced to do sex with a grown-up person so that the girl should be cleansed.
In the rite, the older man is called a fisi, or hyena, because he's in disguise. Esther Msoya, who works with village women like these through her organization, the Forum for African Women Educationalists, says that girls can be as young as 8 or 10 when they're forced to have sex with these hyenas.
Now we're saying this is an old man in his 40s, 50s, cleansing a 10-year-old girl. So we're saying in the advent of AIDS, you know, the girl has also her own rights, privacy.
The women said they held talks with the local chiefs in an effort to stop the practice. They were successful. UNICEF's Christine Chiwe.
Interestingly enough, they were able to identify the positive as well as the negative.
Topping the negative, the spread of HIV/AIDS. Later, we visited Chief Njoli in his compound of mud and thatch houses and lots of little children. I asked him if he had participated in the cleansing ceremonies in the past. Chief Njoli acknowledged that he had, but he also said he'd been chosen by his fellow chiefs to come up with an alternative to the sexual practice.
He's saying that he just replaced the system with the herbs, so he stopped everything.
The young girls now complete their coming of age here by downing a glass of herbs. But elsewhere in Malawi and throughout the continent, such rituals continue. The inability to educate all children also has deep roots in poverty. Malawi has suffered from recurring droughts and some of the worst food crises on the continent. This, combined with years of government corruption and overspending, has put Malawi on an economic knife's edge.
The consequences are severe.
The International Monetary Fund's Thomas Bounsgaard credits the government with reining in corruption, but says it's still heavily dependent on donor aid. 40% of the country's budget depends on external aid, and some 80% of its development programs do as well.
I think the real challenge for the government is to move beyond having a beautiful plan to actually get into the nitty-gritty of implementing policies and really make a difference in the life of the poor.
Back at Mjolo Primary, 18-year-old Felice Lundi, an eighth grader, typifies the problem Malawi and other countries face. Many children cannot afford to go on to high school because it isn't free. Lundi has been offered proposals by older men and boys, but she doesn't want to end up like so many girls in her village. She dreams of becoming a doctor. But her father is dead, her mother severely handicapped.
She says if she cannot find anyone to pay for her school fees, she will just leave school, she will just drop.
In the corner there.
In the corner there.
And keeping them in school is the biggest challenge facing countries like Malawi. Charlene Hundergalt, NPR News, Mjolo Village, Malawi.
Charlene Hundergalt's series continues tomorrow on Morning Edition. She'll report on efforts to help mothers and children survive childbirth. And you can find her previous stories and read an essay about her experiences reporting on poverty in Africa. That's at npr.org.